I'm Afshin Ratansi, and welcome back to Going Underground, broadcasting all around the world from the UAE. What did you make of this week's NATO summit hosted in Washington, D.C., from where scores of armed conflicts were launched all around the world since the self-described defence organisation was created 75 years ago, to some NATO nation policies are bringing us ever closer to wiping out humanity in a nuclear war? Professor Ted Postol is one of the USA's most prominent specialists in nuclear weapons and missile defence, the Professor Emeritus of Science, Technology and International Security at MIT and a former advisor to the US Chief of Naval Operations, joins me now from Boston, Massachusetts. Professor, thanks so much for coming back on. Last time you were on, it was around the same time as Cy Hirsch came on. He publicized your research showing how NATO countries were duped into supporting airstrikes on Damascus, Britain, the United States and France. Actually, this week, Israel, armed by these countries, bombed Syria. Before we get on to NATO's 75th anniversary, do you feel vindicated about exposing the lies that brought the war on Syria?
Well, I don't know what vindicated means, because it's almost like a beauty contest dealing with these public reactions to what you say. It never seems to get the kind of proper, what I would call, technical review that one hopes you would get. Now, of course, it's difficult to do that in a journalistic environment, but I certainly feel that everything I concluded turned out to be absolutely correct. And the more, when I revisit it, I just see more and more details that fit together. So
even though Oscars, I think, Oscars were handed out to documentaries that said there were chemical attacks.
Yeah, the New York Times they have this video branch that they now have, and the people in it seem to have no idea what they're doing. They tell a story with videos, and by selectively showing pictures, they can tell any story they want, and there seems to be no control over, ground truth. And I find it rather shocking, but the New York Times has really become an extraordinarily unreliable source on anything that's international.
Well, of course, it was the media celebrating the 75-year anniversary of NATO, held in Washington with all these world leaders, propaganda machine in full flow. What do you think of the state of NATO as all the journalists, including those from the New York Times, swanned around saying now is the time to confront Russia, China, Iran, I don't know how many other countries?
Well, first of all, there's a delusionary aspect to this whole thing, because if you look at the Ukraine war, and I've been following it on a daily basis, the Russians are overwhelming the Ukrainian forces, and they are inflicting tremendous casualties on these forces. And it is clear that the Russian strategy is to cause a tremendous amount of attrition on the Ukrainian forces, leading to a weakening so great that when Russia then chooses to go on offense in this case means just take territory, because they're not trying to take territory. What they're trying to do is reduce the Ukrainian forces to a shell, to a ghost of what they were. And they are succeeding very well. I think they're probably 550,000 casualties in the Ukrainian force. And all these, it's hard to know what the Russian casualties are, but they are much lower in spite of claims to the contrary. And the reason for that, there are numerous reasons for that. The Russians have complete control of the air over the line of combat, which means that they can deliver munitions anywhere there's a need for a powerful bomb of some kind to destroy a fortified position. And they have a 10-to-1 advantage in artillery. And artillery is the big killer in this kind of war, about 60 or 70% of the casualties are typically caused by artillery, not gunfires. And this tremendous advantage in artillery is profound, because NATO cannot produce much more than 30,000 or maybe 40,000 155 millimeter howitzer shells a month right now. And Russia is producing 10 times that many shells.
And to which, of course, Antony Blinken...
I'm sorry?
To which, of course, Antony Blinken, Secretary of State, would say, and has been saying at the NATO conference in Washington this week, that's why, and he himself is a consultant before becoming Secretary of State, West Exec, an arms consultancy to defence companies, said we're going to give F-16s to control the air, as well as the AAA air defence systems. So how will that change the conflict?
Well, Mr. Blinken should know a little bit of, well, he doesn't, unfortunately, but the F-16 is not going to make any difference at all, as far as I can tell. It doesn't have a lot. I mean, it has significant ability to carry bombs, but it's, you know, Russian air defenses have become dominant in this area, and they shoot down planes like crazy. And the F-16 is not going to be any better in avoiding being shot down than a relatively modern, Russian or Soviet jet, if you want to call it that, that the Ukrainians have been trying to operate. The aircraft will be destroyed on the tarmac in the airfields, which are now under regular attack from long-range missiles. The F-16s will be shot down over the horizon, from beyond the horizon of Russian air defense systems, because the Russians have a tightly coordinated system of airborne radars, just like our AWACS, our airborne warning and control systems. Those radars can see the F-16s well beyond the curvature of the earth when you're on the ground, and they can immediately send all the information to the ground air defense for it to launch a very powerful giant interceptor that can fly, that can reach out to maybe almost 400 kilometers and engage the F-16. Now the F-16 is not even gonna know it's under attack. What's gonna happen is this giant interceptor will fly at first under a ballistic trajectory, trading altitude for speed, and it will not turn on its homing radar until a very late time, and it will be arriving at such high speed that the pilot will not even know they're under attack, or even if they know they're under attack, they will have no time at all to react. And the Russians have been using this very successfully to shoot down Ukrainian aircraft. An F-16 is not going to be any more impervious to this than the aircraft that the Ukrainians have already been using. This
is so all the applause in Washington were for just wasting taxpayer dollars of NATO countries, then you'd say. I mean, if you believe Zelensky, Russia deliberately hit a children's hospital in the past few days. If you believe propaganda media like the BBC, Comcast, Sky News, CNN, and all these kinds of propaganda stations, they say actually Russia is famed for its poor targeting during this Ukraine war, and that's why the children's hospital was hit. Of course, the Russians say it was Ukrainian air defenses that hit the children's hospital so catastrophically.
Well, I mean, it's hard to know. My guess is that this building was unfortunately hit with a Russian rocket. That's my guess. I want to use the word guess. And the reason I believe that is not because of any videos I've seen of rockets coming in. There are actually some pretty interesting videos of these cruise missiles arriving. But it's because the level of damage at the local level is much larger than you would expect from an air defense interceptor hitting the building. I mean, it collapsed the whole building, whatever hit it. And now, whether it was intentional or not, I don't believe for a minute or a second that it was intentional. And we certainly have situations like what occurred at Sevastopol, where these ATACM units, these bomblet dropping missiles that were fired at Sevastopol, killed and injured a large number of people on the beach. And I don't believe that was intended, but I think it's one of those things.
But you believe the ATACMs supplied by the United States that killed all those civilians, killed or injured 100 people on that Crimean beach, was because they were trying to attack civilian target downtown Sevastopol? Because clearly the US, UK, EU-backed Ukrainian forces are attacking civilian targets in Volgograd and elsewhere. The Russians say they're attacking military facilities and deny, of course, that it was a Russian missile.
Well, I actually looked at the trajectories involved, and I tend to agree that it looks like the missile that dropped the bomblets on the beach was very likely heading toward the north-central region of Sevastopol, which is not a military area. And so I don't think the Russians were clear enough on the trajectories of these incoming rockets. But what I could tell, based on what was said and the locations of the launch points and the accident or the atrocity, if you want to call it that, it does appear that the rockets were aimed at civilian areas, and one of them got hit, got damaged. The others were apparently shot down, but one of them got damaged and it fell short, and it released all these bomblets and plus, if you were shooting at a further south of that downtown area. If you were shooting at that area, there's an inlet where Russian naval vessels would be moored. I don't know why you would shoot at those naval vessels using bomblets, because the bomblets will just land on the decks of the vessels and explode. And if there's crew on the deck, they'll kill or injure them, but they won't destroy the ships, not at all.
Professor Theodore Postol, I'll stop you there. More from the former scientific advisor to the Pentagon's naval operations chief after this break. Welcome back to Going Underground. I'm still here with the MIT Professor Emeritus of Science, Technology and International Security and former scientific advisor to the Pentagon's naval operations chief, Professor Ted Postol. You know, you were saying in part one about the Children's Hospital attack. You were talking about the ATACMS attack in Crimea. As regards targeting of these NATO nation weapons in this 75th anniversary party week in Washington, D.C., does the United States have boots on the ground in Ukraine to target these missiles, say, with the one that killed or injured 100 people on a beach, civilians on a beach? Is there MI6 on the ground? Is it special forces?
I have no way of knowing. I wouldn't put it past either the CIA or MI6 to be on the ground. Unfortunately, both those agencies have a long history of being a rogue government for both the Brits and the Americans. We have the secret CIA, which is now interfering with the Western press. I mean, these guys are paying journalists to...
What evidence do you have the CIA are paying Western journalists? The journalists I know, I have to say, I mean, I spent a long time in the BBC. They would do the CIA's bidding with no need for any extra money.
Well, you have, I'm thinking of the group that I tangled with, this guy, Elliot Higgins, who
Bellingcat.
Was portrayed, you know, he has this organization called Bellingcat, and it's just a bunch of people who are making it up as they go along, and they have money. So my understanding from outside sources, which may not be correct, I don't know where this money would be coming from to support a group of people like this, but it seems well, likely.
They've attacked this program. We invite Elliot Higgins on any time to ask about, to answer about where his source of funding is. But you said the TACMs that hit the beach in Crimea were looked targeted at civilian areas near Sevastopol. Would this have needed targeting? I know you've said that the Patriot missile batteries, many more of which are going to be sent, according to the NATO conference in Washington, D.C. this week, they need U.S. boots on the ground to help with the targeting?
I'll be honest with you. I don't know about the ATACMs. The Patriots need to be manned by people who are trained. And it's hard for me to understand who's operating these Patriot units if there are not... Ukrainians do have to be trained, and the training does take some time, and the destruction of Patriot units by the Russians, which has been going on for quite a while, almost certainly kills a lot of the people who operate these air defense systems. So I don't know where the Ukrainians are getting the trained personnel. Now, maybe they get them trained outside ahead of time, expecting them to die. I just don't know.
Now, you're one of the world's preeminent military scientists. You're not like Dr. Strangelove, though I know that. People can watch our interview with the Stanley Kubrick's daughter on our Rumble channel. We've had a string of former US military officials horrified about the attack on Russia's nuclear early warning systems. What was your first thought when you heard Zelensky's soldiers had targeted Russia's early warning nuclear systems?
I actually immediately wrote to Jeffrey Sachs and copied a whole bunch of people because I was extreme. Well, Jeffrey Sachs advises the
he's been on the show.
Secretary General.
He was horrified too.
Yeah, well, he advises the Secretary General of the UN, so I wanted to make sure that Jeffrey knew so that he could alert the Secretary General and whatever mechanisms they have at the UN could be, activated. But I have been studying the Russian early warning system for decades. It's not the only thing I do, thank God. But it stems from a concern I had from the days I was in the Pentagon, because I was in the Pentagon, and I was very suspicious that the Russian early warning system was not up to the job when I was in the Pentagon. I didn't trust the intelligence I was seeing. It just didn't look right. And many years later, I analyzed a false alert accident that occurred in Russia. And through a series of detailed analyses, it became clear that the Russians did not have a space-based global surveillance system. Now, let me explain what that means. The United States has satellites in what are called geosynchronous orbits. Those orbits are at high altitude, and the orbital rotation is once every 24 hours along with the Earth below. So the satellite appears to be stationary over, above the ground. Of course, it's very far out. It's about 40,000 kilometers in space. And the satellite looks down and it can see the hot exhaust plume of a missile when it's launched, of a ballistic missile when it's launched. So for example, if the United States lost one of its early warning radars, we could immediately use the satellites to determine that nothing was happening in that potential attack corridor. The Russians do not have this capability. And it's not because they haven't tried. I have a lot of detailed analysis and historical data that shows they made a significant effort. And incidentally, it's not because they don't know what they're doing. I've met a whole bunch of Russian satellite experts, and it's very clear to me that their quality of their people is extremely high, their scientific capabilities, but they don't have the electronics and infrared sensing technologies that they need to be able to look down straight at the ground and see the small signal from a rocket plume against the bright reflections of sunlight off cloud tops. So
they completely depended on this early warning. So, I mean, you think it was a Zelensky, Marshal Zelensky, of course, because he's not elected anymore. He abolished elections. It was a Ukrainian or Azov Nazi-aligned group tactic, rather than any kind of collaboration with the Biden administration, which surely wouldn't have countenanced such a strike.
It's hard for me to know, because we're dealing with actors who are really largely ignorant. And I mean, I include Mr. Blinken and Mr. Biden and Mr. Sullivan. I have dealt with White House people over the years, and they never know anything about the US early warning system, let alone the Russians. They just don't know. They don't get briefed on it, for reasons that is a whole other discussion about government failures of government internal communication. Part of the reason I asked Jeffrey to, because he has people he can contact at the White House, is that he tell them immediately that he talked to, you know, that he send information to the White House, because I doubt that anybody in the White House understood how dangerous this attack on this radar was, because the Russians would have no ability to understand what could be happening in that particular direction.
I mean, how capable is the United States, for all its early warning using the satellites? And they've actually been reliant on Elon Musk's Starlink increasingly lately, because they can't seem to launch any satellites, of intercepting. How capable is the United States of intercepting a Russian nuclear warhead in any case? I know they said that a North Korean missile was invincible against current U.S.
We have no capability. United States, I say we, the United States has no capability to intercept any ballistic missile. In some sense, that's why when people talk about all these hypersonic missiles and, for long-range attacks, I kind of laugh to myself, because I said, they can't intercept the ballistic missiles. Who cares about hypersonic?
So it doesn't need to be a Kinzhal missile with a nuclear war. I mean, the United States has no defenses against...
No, none at all. Zero.
How did that come to be, then? You were a chief scientist, an advisor at the Pentagon, or you were at Naval Operations. Didn't no one think under Reagan and successive presidents this might be something that needed to be looked at, rather than projects for new warplanes that never worked?
Well, I mean, for the long-range ballistic missile defenses, the missiles that are flying in space against the United States, if we were attacked, would be in the near vacuum of space, and to be at high altitude, and in that environment, a rock and a feather will travel together, because there's no aerodynamic drag to cause a heavy object or a light object to slow up relative to a heavy object. So all you need to do is put a balloon up. It doesn't even have to have the shape of a warhead, because all you see from a distance is a spot of warm, a warm signal.
I shouldn't be laughing, Professor, but of course the Chinese balloon was, because we are talking about Armageddon, but of course there was the Chinese balloon got over then. The weather balloon, as the Chinese call it.
Right. And so a balloon, and you could have hundreds of balloons accompanying each ballistic warhead. They're very easy to make for space, and they can weigh ounces or, a few ounces. And the system has no way of understanding what it's looking at.
Okay, well, finally, and very, very briefly then, if the United States isn't destroyed beforehand, and EU capitals, you expect certainly that Ukraine in its present form will not exist after the current conflict is over, and you believe that you realize all this because there's no room for independent thought in Washington at the moment.
Well, I think this NATO, the way I see the NATO celebration, which I've been watching, part of at least, is I kind of feel sick and ill when I watch this, because I see these people deluding themselves into believing that they're winning a war that they have already lost. There's no question they've lost it, in terms of The Russians could at any time decide to take the rest of Ukraine, and it would be very fast because there's no army left. But I think they'll wait. They'll continue destroying the final remnants of the Ukrainian army. So when they choose to take the rest of Ukraine, there'll be minimal Russian casualties. That's what they're trying to do, is keep their casualties down. Makes sense from their point of view. So I'm looking at this Ukraine, this celebration in Washington, and it's kind of disgusting, to be honest, because these are people in positions of responsibility. They make decisions that cost human lives. And those human lives are not only Ukrainians, they're Russians. This is a war that is going on now for no purpose, because it's over. The Russians can end it anytime they choose by just knocking down what's left of the door and walking through it. And you have a president who's already, it's very clear he's not competent. He's got something seriously wrong with him. And I wonder how much has been going on before it's become very clear, because when he talks about his record of behavior, it's kind of astonishing. He's bragging about converting NATO from a defensive organization, which it was up until the late 1980s, 1990, into a highly aggressive offensive organization that has caused a war that did not have to happen, where a tremendous number of people are being killed and injured. And he had an interview just a few days earlier where he actually presented himself as the leader of the world, who's managing the whole world. He actually said this. I just cringed when he said this. And I'm thinking of Netanyahu in Gaza, who thumbs his nose at Biden when Biden makes an empty statement, stop killing all these innocent people in Gaza. I mean, he has no influence of any kind, and yet he's convinced himself that he's this big, important figure who has all this control. And if he starts a war with China, and I want to go out of my way to make this point, the United States will lose that war.
Professor Ted Postol, thank you. And that's it for the show. Our continued condolences to those bereaved by NATO nation-armed genocide. We'll be back on Monday to ask about Palestine's next move with Palestine's former ambassador to Washington. Until then, keep in touch via all our social media if it's not censored in your country, and head to our channel, Going Underground TV on Rumble.com, to watch new and old episodes of Going Underground. See you Monday.